Hey, welcome to the Rutgers Learn and Go podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about so-and-so, so-and-so, and XYZ. I hope you enjoy our conversation today and you learn something new.
The nervous system includes the brain, spinal cord, and a complex network of nerves. The functional unit of the nervous system is the neuron, a cell that generates electrical signals to send messages throughout the body. The neuron components include dendrites, axons, and the cell body. They receive information through the dendrites and relay information through their axons. The cell body, also known as the soma, contributes through protein synthesis as the nucleus and ribosomes are present in this part of the neuron. The nervous system is also made up of glial cells, which don't participate directly in electrical communication, but do support the neurons. The axons of many neurons are covered by myelin made by glial cells, which helps with transmitting information from one neuron to the next. Internally, organelles often have to move through an axon to maintain cell function. This is done through axonal transport, which involves microtubule rails and proteins called kinesin and dynein to carry the material by walking on the microtubule rails. We can split the nervous system into two parts, the PNS, or the peripheral nervous system, and the CNS, or the central nervous system. The CNS is the brain and the spinal cord, and the PNS is the surrounding nerves. Communication through these systems is vital for proper functioning of the human body. Information can be brought from the brain to other parts of the body, and information can also be sent to the brain as well. Afferent neurons take information from tissues and organs and send it to the body, while efferent neurons take information from the brain to effector cells. These are all connected via interneurons. Now, it's also important to note the junction where neurons communicate, and that's known as the synapse. Synapses occur between axons of one neuron and dendrites of another. There can be separation between the axon and dendrite, as with chemical synapses, but the axon and dendrite can also be connected via tight junctions, as with electrical synapses. Hundreds of presynaptic cells can converge to a single postsynaptic cell, and a presynaptic cell can also branch off to many postsynaptic cells. In the case of a chemical synapse, the axon of the presynaptic cell and the dendrite of the postsynaptic cell is separated by a synaptic cleft. Neurotransmitters are released from the presynaptic neuron and bind to the receptors of the postsynaptic neuron to cause a response. Eventually, these neurotransmitters are removed through reuptake, which is when they are taken back into the presynaptic cell's axon terminal. They can also be transported to nearby glial cells for degradation, or reduced through the use of enzymes. It's important to note that neurotransmitters are also sent between neurons and effector cells. But to talk about the message itself and how the message travels through the neuron after binding with a neurotransmitter, we have to introduce the concepts of graded potential and action potential. Graded potentials are important for short distance signaling. They occur when a certain change in the cell's environment acts on a part of the membrane. Graded potentials can initiate action potentials, which serve to communicate for longer distances. The action potential needs to fulfill a certain threshold to occur, and it fires at the same amount after reaching that threshold. This is called the all-or-none principle. The intensity of the potential does not change depending on the intensity of the stimulus. If the threshold is reached, the potential will fire, and will fire at the same amplitude every time. For an action potential to occur, the cell has to depolarize or become less negative by allowing the influx of sodium ions through their voltage-gated ion channels. After an overshoot, the voltage-gated ion channels for the sodium inactivates and the slower potassium ion voltage-gated channel opens. To let potassium ions out, which leads to repolarization. Because the K+ channels are slow to close, there is hyperpolarization, but they do eventually close and the cell reaches its resting membrane potential once more. So this action potential propagates down the axon, which has sodium and potassium voltage channels throughout its membrane, and allows sequential opening and closing of the pumps. The wider an axon is, the faster the signal travels. Additionally, myelin allows for faster movement of the signal as well. If an axon is myelinated, it still has areas where it's not covered by myelin, and those are known as nodes of Ranvier. And so action potentials occur only on those parts of the axon. They appear to jump from one node to the next, but it's simply that the axon potential is regenerated in each node. This is called saltatory conduction. I also want to discuss more on the subdivisions of the efferent division of the peripheral nervous system. Recall that the efferent division takes information from the brain to the rest of the body. Now, the autonomic nervous system is the involuntary part of the peripheral nervous system. It can be excitatory or inhibitory, and smooth in cardiac muscles, as well as glands and other organs, but not skeletal muscles, are involved. The somatic nervous system is voluntary and involves skeletal muscles. Additionally, the autonomic nervous system can be divided into parasympathetic and sympathetic. The sympathetic nervous system is the fight or flight response. It's how the body responds to high intensity, stressful situations. The parasympathetic is the opposite, and it's called the rest and digest response.